Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, He is your Savior, isn't He? If He isn't, He wants to be. If He isn't, He can be. If He isn't, actually, He came to be. In Luke 19 and 10, we find the Word of God saying, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Hey, I'm glad you've tuned in. Debbie and I are excited about the program, about the song she's going to do for us, and I'm excited about the message God has given me to share with you, to preach to you, to declare to you. And oh, what a privilege that it is. What a privilege that it is. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not ready to answer the call of Jesus when He comes for His church, When that door, and we'll read that in a little bit, and heaven opens and a voice says, "Come up hither." If you're not ready for that, bless God, you ought to get ready. You ought to start right now. Look, I've opened my Bible to the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 7, read down through, a few verses. May read all of those that he's written and addressed to the church of Philadelphia. I'll tell you what. I hope you get the message. Thanks for tuning in. We trust our time will be a blessing to you and will bring glory to God. Listen to the message Debbie's going to give when she says,
"Get ready for the trumpet. Get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet when He calls us away. I have heard the story about Jesus and His love, how He died on Calvary so that we could have a home above. I do not understand.
That, get ready. If you don't, I beg of you, stop what you're doing, bow your head, humble your heart, and repent of your sins, and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to tell you something. He'll make you a new creature. You'll never be sorry. And listen, you'll be spared. You'll be spared the wrath to come. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading at verse 7, and I'll share the message with you. I believe God has laid upon my heart. The Word of God says to the angel, the church in Philadelphia, write, "These things saith He that is holy, He that is true, He that hath the key of David, He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Now watch this, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, he said, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh would I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of God from heaven, from my God. And I will write upon him a new name. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to draw our attention back, if you don't mind, to one verse, in particular verse 10. And Jesus told the church of Philadelphia, that represents, I believe, the church age that we're in today. The Philadelphia church age, friend, is an overlap of the church age of Laodicea. And I believe the last church age, the last church phase, is the church of Laodicea. You've heard me preach many times that we're in that phase. But I want you to know, I believe the Philadelphia church phase or age, whichever you want to call it, overlaps that. Hey, just like Brandon McClure preached at our church one night, I won't get it perfectly how he said it. He said it may be the time of Laodicea, but I'm living in Philadelphia. I like that. He said, because thou hast kept the word of thy patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptations which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but here's what I'm going to preach to you about. Here's going to be my text. You can stay, but I'm leaving. You can stay, but I'm leaving. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, we're living in a day, friend, when there's all kinds of opinions about the Word of God. Even I'm going to give you mine, but I'm going to do my best, friend, to rightly divide the Word of God. Just simply look at what the Word of God says and tell you where I stand on end time prophecy. Hey, if you want to know, I'm what they call a pre-tribulation rapturist. You say, what's that mean, preacher? Well, it means this exactly what I said in my text. You can stay, but I'm leaving. Thank God. I'm like David Cook, that great man of God. Love him just so much. Appreciate our friendship and fellowship. I heard him preach one night, and he said, when I hear the toot, I'm going to scoot. When he's talking about the trumpet sounding when Christ comes for His own. Now listen, we live in a day when there's, like I said, all kinds of different opinion about the Word of God. There are three main groups about when the church will go, if there's going to be a rapture, when will it occur? Well, like I told you, friend, I'm gonna leap out of here before, just like the Word of God says, the wrath of God falls upon this Christ-rejecting world. I'm gonna leap out of here, friend, before the first seal of the Revelation chapter 6 is open. I'm gonna leap out of here before God reveals His wrath against the ungodliness and unrighteousness with this world before He pours out those bowls of wrath. I'm heading out, thank God. I'm heading out. I'm a premillennialist, meaning before the millennial reign. I'm a premillennial rapturist, meaning before, friend, that period of time that Jeremiah called the time of Jacob's trouble, that period of time that Jesus referred to as the tribulation, the great one, that period of time, friend, that man to the name of Daniel prophesied of, that 70th week of his great prophetic utterance. I'm leaving out of here, thank God. I don't know about you. You can stay if you want, like the mid-tribulation rapturists believe that the church will go through at least the first 3.5 years. You can stay here if you want to, like the post-millennial rapturous think, if you want to, meaning that the church has to go all the way through those 7 years of tribulation. But can I tell you, friend, can I tell you that, the Word of God teaches something else? Can I tell you, friend, listen, that, it would be illogical, would it not? Hey, can I ask you something? Can you imagine a man sending his bride into a time and a place like this world is going to see when the wrath of God is revealed from heaven? Hey, can you imagine a man that loves his wife letting his bride go through all of that mess? I didn't think you would think that would be a good idea. But I want you to know, friend, listen, I want you to know that people have their ideas, the post-millennialists, the mid-tribulation rapture idealists. Hey, they've got their ideas, but can I tell you, they're not logical. Can I tell you, I don't even think that they're biblical. Can we look at what this verse of Scripture says? He said, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which will come upon all the earth. You know what I believe from means? I believe it means from. God will just, listen, not let us pass through it and protect us, but He'll keep us out of it. He'll keep us from going through it. Hey, listen, friend, you say, how do you know that? Well, let's look at a couple of things. I'll never get this preached today. There's too much. There's so much about this. Can I tell you, friend, listen to what the Word of God says in chapter 1. And I want you to look at this. Write it down. John tells us how to break up the book of the Revelation right here in chapter 1. He says this in verse 19. Write these things which are. That's what happens in chapter 1. Write the things which are. He said, the things that thou hast seen. That's what he saw in chapter 1. The things which are. The things that he wrote about to the churches of Asia Minor in chapters 2 and 3. When he penned those seven letters that Jesus transmitted to him verbally, I believe. And then he said, he goes on, and the things which shall be. So let's watch this. Here's a divinely given to us outline of this great book of the Revelation. Chapter 1 is the first division. It's the things that John was seeing on the Isle of Patmos when he saw the Lord in His high priestly outfit walking in and out between the seven golden candlesticks. In chapter 2 and 3, it's the things which are. I mean, it was those seven churches that depict the passage of the church through its seven ages or phases, whatever is the correct phrase to use, from Pentecost to rapture. And oh, look, the characteristics of those churches are specific to each church, and yet they overlap in many ways, and different churches can have similar different characteristics, but all, listen, they are specific to certain periods of time through the church age, like the church of Pergamos 300 years after the church was established when Constantine married the world with the church. But I want you to know something, friend. Thank God. When you get to chapter 4, it brings in a new division, the things which shall be. Now I want you to watch something. This is so logical, even I can get it. It's so easy to understand. I bless God that I can understand it. I listen to what He said over here in Revelation chapter 20 or 3 and verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. That's a picture of the church in the last days. That's a picture of the Laodicean church age in which we are now currently in. That church of the people's rule. That church, people rule, ruled by the people. That church that's pushed Jesus to the outside. I don't believe they got him in the nap of the neck and the see the pants and threw him out. They just forgot about him. They just pushed him out because they took their agenda and replaced it with his agenda. Have a look at what he said in chapter 4, verse 1. After this, thank God, after the church, after, listen, how we get to the Laodicean church age. John said, after this, he said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, I was as it were a trumpet talking with me. which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Bless God right there. You get a picture of the church being snatched away, being taken out. Now look, I'm not real smart, but I'm smart enough to count. Do you know chapters 4 and 5 come before chapter 6? And if you look at chapter 4 and 5, you'll find that we're taking all planet Earth. You'll find that the church, bless God, arrives in heaven. You'll find they have crowns to lay before Him that's worthy to receive honor and glory and praise and power. Listen, you'll find Him, bless God, giving praise and glory unto the One. Thank God that brought us out of every nation and people and tongue and kindred and language and has redeemed us by His blood. You'll find us, bless God, watching that scene transpire in heaven when Jesus takes that book out of the hand of Him that sits on the throne. So He can begin to open its seals. And hey, listen, chapter 6 follows all of this. Chapter 6 begins that period of time of wrath which will come upon all the world. And can I tell you, you'll not find the church in chapter 6 through 19 on planet Earth. Hey, listen, friend, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the time of the tribulation, that great one. One that's unlike any other time in all the world. And look at what Jesus said to John. He said, because thou hast kept my word. Boy, that's a key principle there. That's a key phrase there. You know what we got to do? We got to keep God's word. We got to make it preeminent. We got to make it predominant. Hey, we've got to preach it. We got to proclaim it. We've got to study it. Rightly divide it. We've got to ingest it. We've got to live it out in our speech, in our service, in our walk. We've got to make it alive, friend. We've got to make it enable us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. And He said, I'll also keep thee from the hour of tribulation. Thank God. Listen, hey, you can stay, but I'm leaving. You can stay, but I'm leaving. Can I tell you, friend, listen, there's more about this than what a lot of people think. I don't understand how people could even miss what the Word of God clearly teaches. Let me give you three, maybe four examples. Well, three examples from the Old Testament. The Old Testament, you say, yeah, I do. It was written for our admonition and our learning. It was written for us as examples. Hey, can I tell you, you remember that man by the name of Noah? He was the one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was the one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord in a day and a time that parallels our day and our time. It was a time when God was going to judge. It's a time when God did judge. It was a time when God poured His wrath out upon a God-denying, a wicked person. Pornographic, violent, terroristic world like we're living in today. And I want you to know, you know what God did? God, listen, made provision to live. I'm about to get happy. God made provision. Bless God to spare that godly, righteous man that He saved by grace through faith from all of that mess. Listen, He put him in an ark, told him to build an ark. He put him in the ark. You know what that ark did? That ark carried him across the flood. Thank God. That's a picture of being in Christ, by the way. Hey, you know what God did? God made provisions for him. God delivered him out. Hey, God delivered him from, bless God, the wrath before it fell. He was on the inside of the ark. He endured. He lived. Thank God. Had a new beginning at the end, did he not? What about that man by the name of Enoch? Oh, he was the daddy of Methuselah. He was a prophet, was he not? Hey, listen, he wasn't found one day because God took him. Hey, can I tell you this? He had a testimony to please the Lord. Thank God. You know what God did for Enoch? He saved him. He saved him. He snatched him away. Enoch's a picture of the church being harpazoed out, raptured out, snatched away quickly, violently, if you would. People say the word rapture isn't in the Bible. Nope, the word Bible isn't in the Bible either. But I believe both of them, thank God. If you just read the word, Word of God, throughout the Word of God, you'll find types and pictures of it, and then you'll find it plainly taught over there in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, the book of 1 Corinthians 15, and other places too, just like I read from Revelation 4:1. I want you to know, friend, listen, we're going out of here. You can stay if you want, but I'm leaving, do you hear? You ever told anybody that? You ever been in a position, a place that you didn't like, you wasn't comfortable? And listen, bless God, somebody said, I'm staying. And you said, well, I'm leaving. You can stay if you want, but I'm getting out of here. Then there's another man by the name of Lot. You remember him, don't you? He was righteous. God sent angels to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what happened? God had to be led out by an angel before the judgment, the wrath of God could fall. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Same with the church. I'm going out of here. I'm leaving. I don't believe it's long. This is what he said in that letter to the church of Thessalonica. That letter that deals with the rapture of the church. The second epistle to the same church of Thessalonica deals with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And listen to what Paul tells us we're to do in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 10. He said, we're to wait. We're to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which, listen now, delivered, that's a past tense word, us from the wrath to come. Thank God. Listen, He's made provision for His bride. He's not going to make His bride go through the wrath. He suffered the wrath of God. He suffered the judgment of God. He did it in our stead. He did it for us. We're not going to have to do it. Thank God. He takes something that's yet in the future in light of what He's done, something and done in the past. And you know what He does? He talks about a future event as if it were already past. He has delivered us. I bless God, and He's going to in the book of 1 Thessalonians again. Chapter 5, listen to what he tells us. I'd like to read more about this. I'd like to let you know we're children of the day, not of the night. But listen to what he's saying. He said in verses 8 and 9, now let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Now listen to me. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning verse 13, Paul begins to talk about the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, I said one time it was a mystery, but now, bless God, it's a truth that's well known, that the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. We'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen to this. Comfort you one another with these words. Can I tell you, if a rapture wasn't that to deliver us from the wrath to come, how can it be like Paul told Titus, a blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God Savior Jesus Christ? But watch this. He said the hope of salvation, the hope of deliverance. Thank God it's just as real as anything. I mean to tell you, it's already been paid for. It's already assured. He said, for God hath not, listen to me, that word not is emphatic. It's undeniable. Hey, it's you can't argue against it. I mean to tell you, it's implicit. I mean, it's explicit. Can I tell you, friend, for God hath not appointed us, His church, His followers, His believers, His children, His sons, His daughters, has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can stay, but I'm leaving. Thank God. I'm leaving. I'm leaving out. I'm not staying. Thank God. Hey, you can stay, but I'm leaving. When the trumpet sounds, when the door is open, when we hear the voice of our Lord and Savior say, come up hither. Thank God. I expect to experience a change. I expect to be a part of that generation. Like Paul said, we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the cloud. Called up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let me ask you something. Are you ready for that sound? I mean to tell you, are you ready for that trumpet? Like Brother David again said, David Cook, when I hear the toot, I'm going to scoot. I bless God. what's it going to be for you? Are you going to be here when the church is gone, when the light goes out, when all hell is broke loose? Hey, are you going to be here when that man I called the man of sin is revealed, that wicked one, the Antichrist, I bless God, is made known? Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? You're going to be in the Rock of Ages. Are you going to be on that other celestial shore? I bless God with His peace and joy and happiness forever. But if you don't know, why don't you bow your head, humble your heart, and say, God, I'm a sinner. God, I need You as my Savior. That old preacher today said Christ died for my sins. And if I'd call upon You, Lord, You would save me. You would deliver me. Well, Lord, here I am. I'm broken. I'm a cause of sin. I'm troubled and convicted. I'm dying lost, but I need a Savior. And oh, I hear that You'll save anybody and everybody to call on You. Oh, pray that prayer. Pray, God, save me. Pray, God, help me. Pray, God, forgive me. Hey, you know what He'll do? He'll do just that. Hey, I don't know about you. Bless God, but I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Thank God, you can stay if you want. You can stay, but I'm leaving. Hey, go with me, won't you? Go with me. Hey, bless God, let's get ready. Let's wait. Let's look. Let's learn about and long for that second coming.
You are my Savior.
Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.